morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, sisters, aunts that are here today, to thank you for all that you've done to be role models to all the children that are in your lives. Our call to worship today is Dance With Me, and it invites us to gather together as a people of God in this holy place and to worship Him together.
This is holy time. We're gathered together to worship you, to love one another, and as we pray, and as we sing, and as we dance, and as we dream, oh Lord, I beg of you, just this one thing.
Second service. However, they will be here. They heard there was cake for the social hour, so they're coming for the social hour. If you don't feel like sleeping in and coming to the second service, you are welcome.
Thank you for boosting me.
You're welcome to say hi and congratulate them at the social time in between services. You also notice, and I think this was in the last newsletter as well, there's going to be some changes coming after Pentecost, after next Sunday. We're going to be going to both communion every Sunday, and we're also going to be trying out an experiment with what's called the narrative lectionary. So for the summer, there's going to be four different summer series where we'll be kind of covering a connected set of readings over about a four-week period. And then if that goes well, if we like it, we'll try to do a longer series starting in the fall. And if we don't like it, we'll go back to what we normally do. But we'll at least give it a shot. I know this has been in the announcements for a couple weeks now, but you notice in their announcement about the memory garden and pavers, so just keep that in mind. I know I've seen some of the gardeners out there working hard, including Val, who's been out there a couple mornings working in the garden. So thanks to all of those that help beautify our grounds and our church. I know Jerry has been out there, Jerry Morris has been out there sanding and painting some of the tables So if you haven't noticed those yet, check out some of the good work he's been doing. Prayers this week for one for a young woman in the area. Some of you may know an Ayla who was in a car accident, I think, this last week. And I know Wally's been keeping tabs on her progress on a website, the Caring Bridge website. So he might know more if you want to know more. But evidently, she's doing a little bit better, but still cautious. And then, of course, prayers also for Owen Hines and for the Bistados, as Owen passed away this last week. So for those that may have known him, we'll certainly keep all of you in our prayers this week. And Owen's funeral will be here on June 2nd. So it'll be a little bit, but it should be here on June 2nd. Are there any other announcements people have at this time? Anything else to keep in mind?
I would just like to say thank you for all the calls and cards and well wishes. That was very nice. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Well, I'm just going to have to project since I forgot to mic up. I don't know what. Oh, I can borrow one of your mics. We have like four of them up here. I can manage. All right. Well, please rise as you are able. No, you have to sing first. Never mind. Sit back there. See, I got all clustered. Your morning stretches, you know, make sure that blood is flowing.
As a second string drummer, I don't know. You're not.
Yeah, I know. You know how it is. I got to make sure that you really want George back.
We do.
Yeah.
Our next song is "Father, I Adore You." So we're all going to sing it through one time, and then the second time through the men. Follow Pastor and Jim, and then the women follow us. We'll be doing it as a round.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life, for water to bathe in, water to drink, for waters to play in, and waters that inspire wonder, for water that gives life to our planet.
Giving thanks, O God, for the waters of life.
We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place, for water from our tap, for rain and snow, for all these wonderful fishing lakes that have now opened for the season and are thankfully at least a little free of ice, for Mille Lacs and for Mississippi and for all of our lakes and streams and rivers.
We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place.
We give you thanks for your salvation through water, for delivering Noah and his family through the floodwaters, for leading your people Israel through the sea into freedom, for preserving your prophet Elijah through the time of drought, for guiding your people across the Jordan into a new land, for quenching the Samaritan woman's thirst with living water.
We give you thanks for your salvation through water.
We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized and for all who gather here, for godparents and baptismal sponsors, for children and grandchildren, for our brothers and sisters in Christ whom we have never seen, but to whom we are bound.
We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized.
We give you thanks for life in Christ through your Holy Spirit, for our entry into Jesus' death through these waters, for our new birth into a life of freedom and service, for our calling to be your people, sent out for the life of the world.
We give you thanks, blessed Holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us in your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our anthem today is I Will Praise You in the Storm, and it's actually by Casting Crowns, not says Mercy Me in your bulletin, but it's Casting Crowns, and has a special meaning for their lead singer, Mark Hall, who successfully battled kidney cancer. The song is a testament to worshiping God even when we feel struck down, broken, hurt, or lost. It's a reminder that sometimes God feels far away from us and our situation seems unbearable, but no matter what storms that we face, He is worthy of our praise and will always be with us. In Psalm 121, it says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
I was sure by now that you would have reached out and wiped all the tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, but it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy calls, I raise my hand. Mercy calls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 26. In those days, Peter stood among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 1 responsively. Please respond in the bold print. "Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful." They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. The second reading is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. "If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf, and I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world.
I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I meant to mention this at the beginning, but again, I would echo those comments. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers and grandmothers and aunts out there. All women, I think we honor this day, that play some sort of mothering role in the life of another. You know, a mother is more than just biology. A mother is something, it's a relationship we take on. It's nurturing others in all kinds of ways. And of course, there is something about our moms, isn't there? And I do suppose it varies, and I don't want to shortchange dads either, but there is something about our mothers that help define home for us. Even if we are not in our physical dwelling places of our childhood, wherever we're residing, wherever our tax forms get sent, wherever mom is, that place always feels a little bit more like home. Moms are just so reliably comfortable. Even if there's been some strain in the relationship, you can usually rely on the fact that mom will always look out for you. Even if she isn't happy with you, she still loves you. For all the chaos and change in our world, that love is constant. Of course, not every child is so lucky. Not every home is healthy and filled with love. But so often it is in our parents' love that we first understand God's love. We see that love of God which never changes reflected in the love of our parents. That is probably why, even though we maybe accept in some sort of intellectual, theological way that God is not strictly beholden to being either a man or a woman, we still love the idea as God as father, maybe even God as mother, you know, this idea that God is this parent, you know, and we, of course, read in our Bibles that we are children of God. We love that idea. There's something very comfortable, very warm, and just all-encompassing about that kind of love. And here is God, a parent whose love is eternal, who's always there for us, always willing to listen, always willing to forgive. For all of us prodigal sons and daughters, it is one of the greatest comforts we know that we are indeed children of God. And that isn't to say that constancy doesn't have the potential to get on our nerves from time to time. Even if you are 38 or 68, right, so often you are still mom or dad's little kid, right? You might be well into having kids of your own, maybe even grandkids of your own, and still your parents will treat you like you are far younger than the gray hairs and no hairs that may betray your visage. You know, I'm pretty sure I get my dad, I've probably even mentioned it here once before. My dad, you know, I remember well into my 20s, my dad was still telling my brother and I to look both ways across the street. It's just the way it is. You know, this is what happens. And while that might be cute at times, other times it just drives us nuts. You know, and, you know, downright frustrating. You know, the fact that, you know, all these memories that we share with our families, all the memories that they know about us, all the experiences, right? Sometimes our families are the keepers of all of our embarrassing secrets. And they don't let you forget. They never let you forget. And it drives us nuts, you know? The fact that family, that love, that well of relationship, that's something very strong and almost unbreakable, there are some downsides to it, you know? People change, we grow, and yet sometimes our families don't always see that too easily. Or sometimes, you know, we don't change all that much, and we go home and we have the same dumb arguments over and over again, right? That's why sometimes it's nice to have brunch out at a restaurant, because hopefully, you know, you can avoid getting too angry at each other in public. Plus, you know, if they have complimentary mimosas, that helps it along a little bit too. You know, we've wrestled with this idea of change, not just in our families, but in our churches. You know, and next Sunday is Pentecost, the church's big day to celebrate the Holy Spirit, this force of life and change and ministry, that push, that breath inside of us that sends us out into the world. You know, and our readings this morning sort of, I think, reflect that sort of transition point a little bit in our church calendar. We're kind of sitting on an edge this morning, on the cusp of something new. We have Jesus' prayer in John's Gospel. I love it. It's a beautiful prayer. And unlike the other Gospels where, you know, the story tells us that the disciples were kind of maybe just around the bend, they'd fallen asleep, you know, so you know that they hadn't even snuck up to, you know, hear what Jesus was saying. In John's Gospel, they can hear him praying this prayer. I mean, maybe they were playing on their smartphones, but they were probably listening in to this prayer that Jesus was offering to God on their behalf. And that's a touching prayer. You know, this is the night that Jesus is being arrested, and here is this great outpouring of love and concern for his disciples. You know, maybe it's the prayer of a brother, maybe it's the prayer of a leader, maybe it's a prayer of a parent, but it's this prayer that clearly he's looking out for those that are going to be there. He's telling God, you know, I'm coming to you, but they will still be here. You know, this love, this time with them in Jesus' physical presence on earth is coming to an end. But that love for them will not end. And their life will go on. Their ministry will go on. That's what Jesus is hoping. But he knows it's not going to be an easy path. I think Jesus' prayer definitely is a prayer that maybe our parents have offered on behalf of us maybe once or twice or a few dozen times when we go out into the world, when we face a world that is not always friendly and welcoming to us, when we face challenges of one kind or another. And we see life continuing on too in the reading from Acts as well, right? We see the new church sort of getting on their feet a little bit down the road. You know, Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, Jesus has ascended, and now they need to actually do all this ministry that Jesus has been talking about. And they're gathering together, and you know, the ancient peoples, and especially ancient Jews in particular, loved this symbolism in numbers, and especially the number 12, right? The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. This is a meaningful number. And so as much as there are many other disciples and followers of Jesus, men and women, they need to make sure that they have that nice 12, that nice round number after Judas has passed and has betrayed them. That's what's in that missing section, if you're wondering. You noticed our reading skips a little bit in Acts this morning. That's some gruesome scenes with Judas dying and his bowels spilling out and things like that. But after that, they need a new official number 12 disciple to take his place. And then we have our psalm. You know, it's the psalm that is psalm number 1 out of 150. It starts off the psalms. And it advises us to follow the advice of those who are well-grounded, who delight in the law of the Lord, to follow the advice of Jesus, to follow the advice of those who plant themselves by the rich, fertile, well-irrigated soil of God, who then bear much fruit and flourish. And it speaks of constancy, right? It sounds something very well-grounded, like we hope our families are well-grounded, like our parents are well-grounded, you know, this kind of a blessing, something that supports us, that's always there for us, that is nourishing for us. And yet there is this still note of change, right? Because the tree bears fruit and it sends out its seeds, right? And we live in a world, of course, where seeds sometimes have been genetically engineered or bred out, right? We got seedless watermelons. But if we remember how biology works, if we remember our classes in our youth, right? Seeds are meant to create new life. Right, some animal comes by, they eat the seed, and then they deposit the seed somewhere else, hopefully a little farther down the road. And that's how life carries on. You know, our men's group had a good discussion this week, those that were there, until I regrettably cut it short so we could go to breakfast. I don't know if I was hungry or what, but we were having a good conversation. We were talking about the church and all the changes that the church has seen over the years, talked about, you know, how, you know, the different patterns in worship have come about. And, you know, we don't, you know, many parts of our church especially here in the United States or in Europe, you know, we often see it as decline, right? People aren't going to church, at least in some churches. People don't seem to be interacting with churches in the same way that they used to. And thankfully, I was very proud of our men's group. They didn't get too much into that, you know, well, kids these days kind of a conversation, which does sort of get on my nerves a little bit. But, you know, we do sort of worry. We worry about our children and our grandchildren and the next generation. And yet we know that it's not just, you know, especially if we dig into it, and that's more of a discussion for another time, but, you know, we know that it isn't just that people don't seek out faith, that they don't seek out meaning, and yet some of the old ways of doing that are changing. People seek meaning in different ways. We don't necessarily have the same firm commitments to our denominations, whether you're Lutheran or Presbyterian or Methodist or whatever other denomination you might be, that seems to be meaning less and less. And yet we are a world in which the value of faith, the value of being seen as children of God, means just as much as it always has. You know, a world that markets to us in so many new and profound ways, that seeks to manipulate us through all kinds of measures to find value in us because of sexuality or what we can spend, what we can do for a political candidate. When you come to church, when you see the love of God, when you see a father or a mother, you see Jesus Christ as someone who loves you unconditionally for who you are, not for what you can buy, not for what you can do for someone who's trying to make a buck off of you or get some other benefit out of you. You have a God who just loves you, a parent who just loves you for who you are. That's a powerful message to send into our world. It's a message that we need now more than ever. You know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, these are good times for us to remember, not just sort of a non-religious holiday where we get to go out and make sure to give our mothers and fathers nice little gifts and enjoy breakfast together. We should be doing that on a regular basis. Make sure to call your parents once a week if you don't, you know. I'm sure that's an important message to share. But it's also a great reminder for us of this kind of love that we see from God in our parents. The love that hopefully we share with our parents as well. Right? Because we are those seedlings that are plopped somewhere down the road, down the stream, hopefully in nice, fertile, well-irrigated soil. And then we grow and we bring new life into the world in all kinds of ways. Like I said, it's not always about biology. We can bring new life in so many ways in our world to be that message of love in our world. To make the world a place where we are valuing one another not for some selfish or superficial means, but for who we are as beloved children of God. So our world, you know, we are the disciples. God is praying that prayer for us. We are those who have to figure out what to do next. We are on the cusp of a new future. And sometimes we, you know, use the old and the familiar and the comfortable. Sometimes we need the new and the uncomfortable. But always we go forth with love. You know, as John's gospel said earlier in it, we have a God who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.
Sure.
Using the words of the Apostles' Creed, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the Church, the wholeness of creation, and all those who are in need. Gracious God, end divisions within your Church. Open us to receive your testimony. Make us one as you are one. Make our joy complete. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nourish the soil of your earth, holy God. Bless the trees planted by the water, and bless the seeds planted by birds and by our hands. Bring forth fruit in due season. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for warring nations, political refugees, and peacekeepers. Wash away the fear and hatred that tears us apart. Let justice roll down like a mighty stream. Quench our thirst for peace in every land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are homeless, naked, hungry, imprisoned, abandoned, or sick. Send us to shelter, clothe, feed, and visit those in need. Make us your healing and compassionate presence in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for mothers we love and mothers we struggle to love. For adoptive mothers, stepmothers, and foster mothers, for those who long to be mothers, for everyone who has mothered us in the faith, give us rest, give rest, healing, wisdom, and strength, mothering God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good and gracious God, we lift up prayers of our community this day. We remember in prayer Ayla, who was in a car accident recently. Please be with her, with her family and friends, and with all her caregivers, that she may be restored to health and wellness. We also remember in prayer today the family of Owen Hines, that you be with them as they mourn his passing. We know, O God, that nothing separates us from your love, neither life nor death. And now, O God, we lift up all the prayers that are on our hearts, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. You give us eternal life in your Son. When doubts and fears arise, give us peace in the resurrection promise. Sanctify us in your truth and unite us with all the saints. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Peace be with you, Jim.
Let us pray.
Be known to us, O Lord, in the breaking of the bread, as you were made known to the disciples. Receive these gifts and offering of our lives, that we may be your risen body in the world. Amen. May God, who has brought us from death to life, fill you with great joy. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. You are the body of Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks
be to God.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.